You're listening to Hump Day News and Rumors on Mousecapades Radio.
Get ready for something
majestic.
The following is an original production of the Mousecapades Radio Network.
Now, from the Mousecapades Studios, here are your hosts.
Happy Hump Day, Mousecapades listeners. This is Vicki, and I'm here with Samantha and Gina, and we pray that you're all staying safe, happy, and healthy. This is episode 924, and you're listening to the number one podcast that entertains that space between your ears, the Mousecapades and More podcast.
If you're looking to book a trip, we would be glad to help. Just text Vicki, Samantha, or myself, Gina, at 636-373-4497, and we will be happy to get with you to design a magical vacation. A small refundable deposit of $200 will hold your Disney resort and ticket package, or we can quote any destination of your choice. So contact us today.
Well, Disney has finally released the dates for Epcot's Food and Wine Festival. Woo! For 2024. The festival is not starting, though, till August the 29th.
Yeah, that seems so late.
Yeah, so it's going through November 23rd. Since the pandemic reopened, or after Disney opened from the pandemic, I should say, they started the Food and Wine Festival. We know, I want to say it was like July 4th. I don't know the exact date, but that sounds about right. Or maybe it was July 5th. But it ran until November all these years. I like it's tons of years, but that is 4 years. And the only thing I can figure out is they were trying to encourage Disney fans to come back to the parks. And they know that the festival is a big draw for people. But this is the first year they're not doing that. It's a shorter time from May 28th to August 28th, which is bizarro to me.
See, and they shortened the Spring Festival too. Remember, we were all complaining about that.
Yep.
Flower and Garden Festival, they shortened it. What the heck is going on? Because I'm sorry, Epcot in that section is boring without a festival going on.
Well, I know that's what I was thinking, especially if they're going to open Tiana's. They need something over there to draw. But I know that some of the vloggers have said maybe it's because Communicore Hall and Communicore, whatever the other thing is opening. Those two plaza are opening. I don't know, but...
They open in June, I think, but I saw rumors they think that maybe another festival might come in.
Well, I mean...
But they would have announced that already if that was going to happen.
You would think. I mean, we're still waiting on Halloween party dates.
Yeah, I know, right?
This is
true.
They're
like a little behind on... They were great with announcing things, and now it's like they've just...
Stall. Crickets. Well, I think it's interesting, though, because Gina's right. It's not so much that there's nothing to do as much as you get used to all those food booths and then they have more sit downs than they have quick serves there because they always have the festivals. So that's definitely going to be interesting.
I feel like they're trying to do things a little pre-pandemic now. But from what I read, like going back to what I am waiting for is that Halloween party announcement. This is like really late for them to announce. Not even just to go on sale, but just to announce something.
Because well, I'm in a Facebook gonna happen. Group.
Yes, I'm in a Facebook group for it. And the amount of questions a day that I see in the announcement. So I feel like that. And then, you know, you're waiting on Tiana.
Yep.
Which I heard could be Juneteenth. Like they're trying to get it around.
So many rumors flying around. I
don't know.
I'm still hoping for the 10th.
I still think it's going to be the 10th.
We'll be there. We'll be in Magic Kingdom that day.
And then you guys are going to tell us how it was.
That would be an awesome, like, you know, surprise then.
Is Rebecca going to be there then too?
Mm-hmm.
See, so we'd have awesome trip reports then.
I think we're adding a day to our trip because they changed our flight. I think we're going to rent a Jeep again and we're going to take a down day and go to the beach.
Yay. Let's go.
Food and Wine will once again be sponsored by Porksicle. Disney fans will be able to have Belgian waffles with berry compote and whipped topping or warm chocolate ganache and whipped topping at the Belgium Global Marketplace. Or how about a fresh apple strudel with vanilla sauce? How about the passion fruit cheesecake with toasted macadamia nuts at the Hawaii Marketplace? Is your mouth watering yet? I know ours is. Mine especially right now.
Yep.
Well, never fear. There are savory choices at Food and Wine too. Emile's Fromage Montage returns, allowing you to sample cheeses from all over the world. You can keep track in your passport of all the yummy food that you eat while visiting the festival.
I think that's my favorite festival.
I'm so excited. I haven't been back to it since 2019. So we're going to be there for it.
Good stuff.
Well, I just did the one in California and you cannot compare the two. I mean, Epcot blows it out of the water.
I'm sure.
So as you can see, this is why Epcot blows it out of the water, is there will be 25 food booths in Epcot. Here are just some of the booths that you can visit during the Food and Wine Festival. The Alps booth will have items like chocolate fondue with berries, pound cake and meringues, ham and Swiss cheese and potatoes, and warm Swiss cheese with a baguette and baby potatoes. The Australian booth will have grilled sweet and spicy bush berry shrimp with pepper, onion, snap peas, and coconut chili sauce, roasted lamb chop with mint pesto, and potato crunchies, and finish up your meal with an Australian favorite, a Lamington yellow cake with raspberry filling with chocolate and coconut. For a full list of the booths and the food, you can just Google Epcot's 2024 Food and Wine Festival, and it will get your mouth watering and make you want to visit Epcot.
I will tell you, the Lamington does not make my mouth water.
It does me. It sounds good.
Sounds delicious.
Well, maybe the one at the Food and Wine Festival is better, but there was a local bakery and it looked so good. And so my mom got it and we were so sad. It just wasn't what we thought it was going to be at all. But I mean, it's not Epcot. It was a bakery, but still, I don't know. So the Eat to the Beat concerts will also be back at the Food and Wine Festival. However, the concerts actually start in July, about a month before the festival does. So here are some of the people that will be performing at the Eat to the Beat concerts. This made me want to go just because of this. So on July 30th and 31st, For King and Country will be at Epcot. For August, some of the performers are Tiffany, the Bacon Brothers, which is Kevin and his brother, Ruben Studdard and Philip Phillips. Those are both from American Idol. And for September, Mercy Me, Foreigner's Journey, Toby Mac, 98 Degrees, and Boys to Men are some of the amazing acts. And then for October, Sugar Ray, Air Supply, Taylor Dane, Hanson. Wow, that's an oldie but a goodie. And then finally in November, We the Kings, Sheila E., and 38 Special, along with some others, will be there. It's pretty awesome lineup, I got to tell you. So if you're going to pay for your ticket to Epcot, that is inexpensive. I mean, your ticket's expensive, but if you're getting a concert and the park, that's a good deal. And I think people should do it. But
we saw 38 Special there one year. They were good.
I'm trying to think who I saw. I saw somebody last year, but again.
And then it was, who was it last year? It wasn't Boys to Men. It was another group. Motown something.
There were a lot of them. I picked the ones that I thought probably were the biggest names that might be interesting to people.
Oh, dude, I want to go in September for Mercy Me. I love Mercy Me.
Yep. So if you are interested in finding out the lineup, all you gotta do is Google it, Eat to the Beat 2024, and they'll give you the full list. And we would love to help you book a trip if you want to go.
All right. So Disney's termination policies have been out on the internet recently after former cast members from Walt Disney World and Disneyland have unpacked their time at Disney. One of the things that stuck out on these searches was that you would get paid more if you maintain the current weight and physical appearance while working for Disney. Recently, Disney was looking for Tiana because of the upcoming opening of Tiana's Bayou Adventure. The article read that it was seeking candidates for the character lookalike role of Princess Tiana. For the audition, the people auditioning had to have four photos. One photo was with a full smile showing teeth. A second photo would be without a smile. A third would be a full body shot from the ground up looking at the camera, and a fourth photo would be the profile shot from the waist up. Princess Tiana is to be between 5'5 and 5'8. According to the Disneyland Post, the pay is nearly $5 more per hour. The pay rate for this role in California is $24.15 per hour. Lookalikes will also earn a $4.75 per hour premium for any hours on stage as a lookalike.
Wow.
How did they get her height? Like,
I fall in that range, but I'm not sure I meet any of the other criteria.
I will say, it was just because Mike's in the room with me. He actually had an Uber one day coming back from a trip. And the woman, he was talking to her, and she played Tiana at Disney World at one point.
Really?
Oh, wow.
And he said she looked like like what you would think the Tiana character would look like.
So I don't know how much you guys have watched, but I've watched the 1900 Fair, and they have two Tianas that I've seen so far. And I've watched three different people go to that restaurant. I just like one of them more than the other. So I think one of them's on the shorter end, and one, and they were both genuinely hospitable and everything, but the one just is a little bit over the top to me, and she's taller. But we kind of want to go to that restaurant now, because at first we weren't too psyched about it until, because we were sad that they got rid of Mary Poppins and some other things. And so, yeah, it actually looks pretty cool.
But Tiana is popular right now.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I like how they tied it all together with that whole Wish thing. But I do wonder why Asha's not there from Wish.
I don't know. Maybe they will eventually.
Like, maybe they'll roll in. Like, since it just opened up again, they're kind of just putting, like, it's a mishmash of characters, though.
It's because they're all Wish characters. Cinderella, Aladdin.
Oh, okay.
Who's the other one?
I finally did get to see that movie on the plane coming home from California.
Oh, did you?
I did. It was good.
I keep seeing previews for it.
Tiana. Who's the other one? Who's the fourth one? Cinderella, Aladdin. Oh, Mirabelle from Encanto. And then the other day, this family that had been there for breakfast was there for dinner, and Snow White showed up. And so they were like, what? I thought Snow White was only at the one at Wilderness Lodge. Well, apparently not. Sometimes she shows up there.
Interesting.
I know.
So some sad news. Ray Chan was the man behind the look and feel for six Marvel films. Tragically, his family announced Wednesday, April 24th, that Chan passed away at the age of 56. That is, like, really young.
Yeah, for somebody who's knocking on that door soon.
Yeah. Ray Chan started his career with Marvel by working as a supervising art director for Thor: The Dark World in 2013. He would remain as a supervising art director for Guardians of the Galaxy in 2014, Avengers: Age of Ultron 2015, Doctor Strange 2016, Avengers: Infinity War 2018, and Avengers: Endgame 2019. In total, the six Marvel films that Ray Chan served as supervising art director grossed more than $8.321 billion at the box office. Chan also served as the art director of Spider-Man Far From Home 2019 and the upcoming Deadpool and Wolverine that will be released this year, starring Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman. Chan is survived by his wife, Lindsay, and his two sons and daughter-in-law. Our thoughts and prayers go out to Ray's family and friends. Thankfully, we have Chan's work to remember him by for years and years to come. And all those movies are my favorite Marvel movies.
Yeah.
He's very talented.
Ryan Reynolds was super upset about this loss. And I mean, like you said, that's young. So I'm hoping we don't find out that it was suicide. Cause I just feel like lately so many actors and actresses have been taking their life, and it just makes me so sad that when we do our musicians at school, there's been a couple that we know have been overdoses or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I always tell the kids, I'm like, I don't care how sad you are. If you just are so sad, then you come talk to me or you talk to an adult or something. Don't ever feel like you're alone, because you always have somebody, because it just makes me so sad that they feel like their life is just so empty that they need to end it. All right, let's go do happier stuff. Well, this isn't happier. So Disney World has some of the most amazing transportation for guests to use while they're there. And if you've never been, you may not even realize how many kinds of transportation are there. The most prominent, of course, is the buses, everybody's favorite. There's also boats, the monorail, and the Skyliner round out the four types of transportation that are there. If you go, I challenge you to take every source while you're there, because we did that our first time and it was very cool. So on Saturday, Disney had to suspend the use of the boats on the Sasagula River because the water levels are down. These boats are a perk of staying at Port of Orleans Riverside and French Quarter, Old Key West, and Saratoga Springs. They transport you quickly to Disney Springs area, which is really nice because lots of food and shopping there. A lot of guests use these boats to get to Port of Orleans French Quarter also, like Gina, to get to the yummy Mickey beignets.
And hurricanes.
For now, these boats are unavailable until the water level rises to a safe level for them to be able to travel again. We, of course, are going to keep track of this and hopefully hear something soon. I just find it interesting. Don't you think that they should have a way to add water to that?
They probably rely on the rain and they really haven't had any rain lately. I don't care as long as they're up and running in June.
I got to get my beignet.
We're staying at French Quarter.
Oh, that's right. I forgot that.
I'll be going the first time in October. They have gluten-free ones.
Ooh.
Ah.
So that is my mission.
I'm saying you need to write into Gideon's and tell them to make gluten-free cookies.
I will. And I'll be saying it probably plenty to them when I see the people there. I'll be begging them.
There is a gluten-free bakery there.
Erin McKenna's.
Yes. I liked it. My husband didn't. He didn't like the carrot cake. But I got just a regular chocolate cupcake, and it was very good.
I find their stuff to be heavy because, you know, you do have the substitute, but it seems heavy because I've had other gluten-free stuff that if I gave it to people, they had no idea.
Right.
So I'm just not a huge fan. So if anything, there's, you know, I can go get like a gelato at that Vivo. Is it El Gelato? That's like right next to it.
You can probably go get a Dole Whip because they don't have any gluten in them.
I do love a Dole Whip. And you get like the flight.
Yeah, that Tim Tracker was reviewing a dessert that was gluten-free. And he said the exact same words you did. He said, this is a really heavy dessert. And he said, I just always find that interesting.
It's the texture type thing.
Yeah, the texture can be a little off, but it's just, you can, as soon as you grab it, you can feel like a regular cupcake is so much lighter.
But that's all the bad stuff.
Yeah.
Yours is better for you and maybe makes you clean out your system too.
It's very far and few between that I found like really good gluten-free, I'll say.
Yeah, the chocolate cupcake that I had from there was good. It didn't taste like it was gluten-free. It tastes like a regular chocolate cupcake.
I try it every time. So maybe once I go again, maybe I'll see something. Maybe they'll have like a pumpkin.
Yeah, the carrot cake wasn't good. We got the carrot cake and it wasn't good. Or no, it wasn't carrot cake. It was pineapple upside down cake. That's what it was.
I forget where it is in Disney. I saw recently they have a gluten-free. Oh, it's Hooks of Dublin.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I saw someone posting that they have two gluten-free desserts there, and one of them was a pineapple upside-down cake, and it actually looked good.
Interesting.
I'll have a list when I
go. You guys are making me hungry for sweets now.
Hey, I can give you, Abby's boyfriend's mom just made us a banana pudding cheesecake.
Ooh.
And it is so good. And I'm like, I can't eat any more of this. It hurts my stomach. So this week, Disney made an exciting announcement. It was so exciting that I shared it with the other travel agents via Facebook Messenger. The Chosen has joined Disney Plus streaming service this past Monday, April 29th. If you don't know what The Chosen is, you need to totally check it out. It is so good. This series debuted in 2019, and it was available to watch on their website and app. And since then, it has been licensed to stream on Netflix, Prime Video, Peacock, and the CW. It is the first three seasons. Dallas Jenkins realizes that fans are dying to see season four, but it has not been released yet. It is still in the theaters, but it is not out on any of the apps right now. They are having an issue with some legalities before they release it. But they are saying in the next 4 to 7 weeks, it will be ready. And there will be a season five. So this series is out of Come and See, a nonprofit organization that pays for the production of the series. The Chosen, if you don't know what it is a historical drama about the life of Jesus. And it has many viewers all over the world. Small groups are using it for Bible studies. Families are watching it together to bring about conversation. And it is highly recommended by everyone that has seen it. And I can definitely tell you, I totally recommend it. I am rewatching it again. It is so good.
I know Steph said that I've never watched it. And I know that's insane to everybody who knows me, but we just didn't. But my mom's doing it as her Bible study. And I know Steph's watched it. You've watched it. Everybody I know that's watched it loves it.
Nick's watched it.
Yeah.
Is it like kid friendly or is it more geared to like an audience?
I mean, it's geared for adults, but kids could follow it and understand it. It's not like there's nothing like scary in it or anything. It makes Jesus very real. And the disciples, it like shows them how they are as real people. Because if you think about it, we don't really think of them as real people. Like they're just a story, but it makes it real.
Well, Chase is starting Catholic school. So, and he goes to a Christian preschool now. So he knows like a little bit, but I think maybe that could be good, something to show him, you know, stories he's hearing like, oh, wait, but.
Yeah, he could relate.
Yeah, and it might go over his head a little bit, but at least it could be something, you know, just a little bit of knowledge might get in there, like a story or something.
No, it's surprising because that's what somebody said when we started an 18-month-old room. And I'm like, you have no idea. These kids go home and tell their parents stuff. And you're like, I didn't even know they knew what I was saying. So every little bit.
Oh, it's true.
It's so good. Yeah. Chosen is a talk of our small group as well. I mean, we're not doing a Bible study or anything, but we've talked about it.
Oh, my mom. She's like, I'm like, Mom, you have streaming services. If you really want to go on, I can't go on without my ladies. And I'm just like, she's like, it ended. It was so good. And we had to end.
Well, Andrew started watching it first. And then he's like, Mom, you really have to watch the show. He's like, it kind of starts out kind of like it's slow in the beginning. He's like, just stick with it. Stick with it. And he was right. And then I got hooked. And I was trying to watch it while working. And I'm like, I can't watch this while I'm working. So I quit watching it while I was working. I just watched it when I was like folding laundry and stuff like that.
You need to watch the Love Boat. Love Boat or Family Matter, something that you don't need to
just
think
some
about.
Background noise.
Yeah.
So this next story, I'm happy to say I can read it because it's my favorite ride. It was my pick to win the March Madness, but I think it got knocked out in the first round.
It did because it's Christie's too.
If you've ever ridden Tower of Terror, you know that it's not a ride for everyone. In fact, Vicky's husband, Brad, says that it's a one and done for him. And I will say the same for my husband. Mike has done it once. He's good.
He said, you lie. You lie.
My son, it's a one and done for him. So one and done for him. He don't like it. He did it last October and he said, I'm done. I'm good.
Mike went on Friday the 13th and it dropped 13 times.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, no, 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 no.
I would love it. I'm all for it. So I have done it by myself. So more than 6 million guests venture into the Tower of Terror every year. This ride first opened on July 22, 1994 in Hollywood Studios. Although the premise of the ride is that a family had a tragedy while visiting the hotel, Disney wants guests to know that this ride is safe. Almost 1,700 guests enter the queue and wait their turn to have the thrill of experiencing Disney's Tower of Terror attraction every hour the park is open for operation, according to WDW Theme Park. And every single one of them exits the attraction, still breathing and still alive. For context, that's approximately the same number of guests who test their skill every hour at the midway inside Toy Story Mania. But it's less than half the number of guests who sit back and relax while taking in the sights high above Tomorrowland on board the Tomorrowland Transit Authority, which welcomes 3,600 guests every hour. The 8 elevator cars inside the Tower of Terror attraction at Disney World were built by Otis Elevator Company, and each one is equipped with what's known as over-engineered design and the redundant safety systems. It's this feature that guests won't fall to their deaths inside the attraction. And that's because of the very engineering that is found in the attraction. It far exceeds the minimum standards for safety, and both of the ride safety systems reinforce one another. Each car is outfitted with 4 solenoid brakes that serve to control the speed of the cars so that they can't race up the cables too quickly and burst through the roof of the attraction structure. In the same way, solenoid brakes keep the elevator cars from free falling down the tower shaft and crashing into the ground below.
Isn't that good to know?
And also that the screams you hear are fake.
Yes.
A lot of the times, like, people think you're here. You got to be screaming really loud to hear them from where you can, you know, on the boulevard. So I'm very excited. My last 2 trips, I was pregnant, couldn't go on them.
Oh, no. So she's just going to ask if she can stay on. Just let me stay on.
Please. I'll show you proof. I had belly each time I was here last. There's a ride at Sesame Place, our local theme park after Sesame Street. And it has, Chase calls it Elmo Drop. So it's like a mini version of it.
Oh, yeah.
He's been going on it for probably a year now. And he's 3.
Oh.
We just went on it yesterday. Yeah, yesterday. And he's obsessed with it. He loves the drop. He keeps going again and again. I'm like, I know you're going to be my Tower of Terror buddy. I don't know if he'll be tall enough for it this go around. But the next trip, yes, definitely be screaming again.
That is funny. Well, I have Say It Ain't So. Say it ain't so, say it ain't so. So according to Reddit, this family not only screamed at other guests, but they also screamed at and tried to bully a Walt Disney World cast member. That's a huge no-no, people. What an afternoon we had yesterday at Magic Kingdom. I'm quoting the person that wrote this, by the way. Waiting in line at Pirates, this large family behind us was so loud to the point where it was affecting my ear. The person said they are deaf and left. They're deaf in their left ear and right ear is very sensitive. He said, I understand kids being loud, but adults? Anyways, one of the adults screamed so loud it caused a pain in my right ear. So I asked kindly if they could not be so loud. Well, that was a bad idea. Instead of being kind or saying, hey, no promises, but we'll try, the man proceeded to say, if you don't like how loud we are, then don't come to Disney. He additionally called us imbeciles and then faced the line and yells, hey, everyone, shh, be quiet. They don't like how loud this line is. Definitely a bullying moment. Once we approached the cast member for seating, I kindly asked if we could sit in a separate boat than them, when suddenly that same guy starts yelling at her and goes, we don't want to be on the same boat as them. They think we're too loud. Mind you, 2 other adults in his party were yelling at her too, backing their friend up, causing a lot of commotion. Thank you, cast member, because she gave him the biggest attitude stank face ever and was nice to us. I rarely go to Magic Kingdom. I always stick to the other 3, but it left such a sour note. I've been going to Disney every year since I was 6 years old, and I've never had that happen to me. Guess I've been lucky. There's a first time for everything. What do you guys think about that?
I would say maybe someone was indulging in some drinks maybe prior to.
Well, it was Magic Kingdom.
Does the sit downs maybe sell?
Yeah, they do. Like, Be Our Guest does.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe he was just being rude. I mean, you don't have to be drinking to be like that.
Some people are just loud.
Yeah. And obnoxious about it, though.
Yes.
Like, there's a difference. Like, if you're loud and, oh, I'm sorry. But some people, and then they don't like to be called out on it.
Yes, I know. Maybe it was just that. And because that guy had sensitive ears, let's hope. But if they were mean to the cast member too, that's just wrong. It's not the cast member's fault.
Right.
Yeah.
Who knows?
So permits have been filed for an extensive underwater work on a 53-year-old original Magic Kingdom park ride. Does that have your mind reeling? 53 years. That's insane. Well, it's the Jungle Cruise. Unlike typical permits with a 1-year expiration, this permit is set to expire in October of 2025. Underwater Engineering Services, Inc. has been contracted for the project, although the license only outlines general construction as the scope of the work. The permit's address corresponds to the Jungle Cruise attraction rather than any backstage facility or maintenance area. While specifics still need to be included in the permit, information from the UESI website suggests their expertise covers above and below water assets, including operational facilities and those undergoing decommissioning. Given that the ride is over 50 years old, it's possible that it needs work on corrosion, inspections, or repairs. It's unlikely that there's going to be a retheming change, especially with its popularity and with the prop changes in the past few years. It's going to be interesting to find out what exactly is going to happen. We'll let you know as soon as we find out.
I wonder if they'll close it for free refurbishment. Like, I mean, even if they're just working on the underneath stuff.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't say if they could do it behind, like, on off hours.
Yeah.
Maybe it's going to make it a little smoother, because sometimes I feel like it's a little
jerky.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be in the Nile.
It's the only time you'll ever catch me there.
Great news from Disney Springs. Vineyard Vines opened this weekend, and the store is located in the old Lululemon store between Under Armour and Le Conte, however you say that, Provence. The brand is known for their pink whale logo, which is prominently displayed at the top of the building. And inside the store, Vineyard Vines has white walls and wood floors. The cash wrap and wall behind are designed to look like a deck of a ship. And Vineyard Vines and the Lake Buena Vista, Florida are on the front of the counter. The white walls feature whale motifs. Vineyard Vines offers preppy clothing for adults, kids, and pets. And as explained by a sign hanging on the wall in the store, Vineyard Vines was founded by brothers Shep and Ian Murray in Martha's Vineyard in 1998. They now have over 100 locations, and there are dressing rooms in the store for guests to try on clothes. They are currently hosting the Sun and Savings event with 30% off swimwear, tees, dresses, polos, and select shorts. There is an additional 35% off sale styles, and a large pink whale statue hangs in one of the windows. Make sure you check that store out.
I think it's funny that they sell pet clothes.
Yes, preppy pet clothes.
Preppy pet clothes.
I mean, I bought them for my kids. They have preppy outfits, but...
That's so funny. So during an interview with V, and I'm assuming that's Vogue, I have no idea, but I just thought it was interesting that I never heard of a magazine named V, but whatever. Anne Hathaway announced that Princess Diaries 3, written by Adrita Mercaji. Not much more has been released about Princess Diaries 3 or the possibility of a series on Disney Plus, which apparently has been a rumor. So Hathaway said, "We're in a good place. That's all I can say. There's nothing to announce yet, but we're in a good place." And so while Hathaway was intentionally ambiguous, Disney fans can take comfort in knowing that the project is going to happen or is happening currently. And we can expect to book their tickets back to Genovia for another outing with Her Majesty in the near future. And although Hathaway didn't mention Julie Andrews in her interview, we know that Andrews is willing to be part of Princess Diaries 3 because she mentioned it in another interview that she did recently, saying she would love to reprise her role as Queen Clarice. So until we have more information, we're all just going to have to be on hold and wait.
I love those movies. They're so cute.
I know. They really are. By the time it finally comes out, Natalia, maybe we'll want to watch it.
I know. I think 13 when the first one came out. I think it was in 2001. So I was 13 for that. But I read the books of the series. But they're just so, like, I hope like we can get like a good amount of cast back.
I bet you. I bet they can.
It's sad because, you know, Gary Marshall, he's passed away. And but I feel like they can honor him. Like, I feel like Anne Hathaway, Julie Andrews would do it if it wasn't staying true to the whole, you know, Princess Diaries.
Well, his son is still directing and producing, right?
I feel like, yeah. And he always kept them on set. A lot of his family members, like his daughter is the assistant to Queen Clarice.
To Queen Clarice, yep. And she was also in Pretty Woman. She was in a lot of things.
I think she was in one of my favorites, Runaway Bride.
Yes, she was.
With Julia Roberts. She was, I think, one of her best friends.
Yes, she was.
So I'm so excited.
Yeah, I know.
They, you know, if it's already written and it's got a fan base, like, please, please, please. I know, Gina, you always say Disney listens. Please.
Please listen, because Julia Roberts is not getting younger. She's getting older. And I want to make sure we talk about that all the time at our house. It's going to be a sad day when you lose Mary Poppins and Bert.
Yeah,
it's going to be bad.
He's what, 98 and still, like,
he's 94.
He's the same age as my grandpa.
But he's still going. Like,
I know Willie Nelson turned 91 today, and he did a concert last week at 90.
That's crazy.
And I was telling the kids, and they're like, "He looks old." I'm like, "He's 91.
He's always looked the same to me."
You know what, though? When they get to that age, if they keep going, like, mm-hmm. doing stuff, like, that's what keeps them young. Like, my grandpa, he's 94, and he goes fishing on a boat all the time.
It keeps their mind, as long as you keep their mind going.
He mows his own grass.
Yep, that's longevity.
Yeah, you just have to keep them. That's why they always say do those puzzles. Like, just keep them, you know. But yeah, Julie Andrews is unfortunately getting older, so it just wouldn't be the same without Queen Clarice.
That's right.
Walt Disney World has announced the dates for the first room refurbishment of Bay Lake Tower at Disney's Contemporary Resort from September 2024 to September 2025. Room refurbishment work will take place in Bay Lake Tower at Disney's Contemporary Resort. During this time, guests will see and hear construction work throughout Bay Lake Tower. Please allow extra time for travel as alternate paths may be utilized. Bay Lake Tower is located next to the original Contemporary Resort along Bay Lake. The resort has 428 Disney Vacation Club villas. It opened in the summer of 2009. After a 2019 test, Disney rethemed the Contemporary Resort rooms to a favorite in the Burton Sini House, The Incredibles. Bay Lake Tower did not receive the same update. The bridge connecting the buildings was refurbished in 2022.
So I do appreciate that they try to keep that stuff up. So this year for our no parks trip, one of my choices was Bay Lake Towers, but they also had Club Level at Wilderness. And I went back and forth, and I know I really want to stay in Bay Lake Tower, but it was even more money than doing Club Level at Wilderness. I'm like, this is a no brainer. We're going back where I know Brad really loves it. So not that Bay Lake's not great. So don't hear me say that, listeners.
So the rainforest in the Living with the Land has gotten an update with brighter lighting. The scene in the World Nature Area attraction has been illuminated with new blue tone lighting. You can spot the change in lighting as you pass through the opening scene just after the thunderstorm. The lighting is certainly bluer than what was there prior, but it's also brighter, making it easier to see the rainforest environment. This is the second change Living with the Land has seen recently. In honor of the 2024 Epcot International Flower and Garden Festival, the attraction has gotten an overlay with nods to classic Disney movies, including The Little Mermaid and Alice in Wonderland. We're so happy to see Disney giving Living with the Land some love. I love that ride.
Yeah, I really love that they're doing overlays all the time because it really just adds to it. Although I don't know if you saw that one, Gina, that Kyle Paolo like got on the ride and he went all the way through it. When he came out, they were having to empty the line. He's like, don't see this very often. And really, I don't know that I've ever heard of it being closed for technical issues like some of the other things that are in the parks. So over in the West Coast, the Pixar Fest started at Disneyland's California Adventure this past Friday. And it is the celebration of friendship and beyond. So Buzz and Woody, Mike and Sully, Marlin and Dory, Lightning McQueen and Mater, Joy and Sadness can be found celebrating Pixar if you're one of the lucky people that's going to get to visit it from now until August the 4th. All throughout downtown Disney and the Esplanade, you'll see signage for Pixar Fest. In between the two parks sits a Pixar Fest sculpture. It pays tribute to Imagineer Raleigh Crump's Tower of the Four Winds, which served as a visual marquee for the Small World attraction from 1964 to 1965 at New York's World's Fair. A small structure sits on Main Street USA in both theme parks. You'll see Pixar character medallions atop Pixar fabric of primary colors on Main Street and Buena Vista Street. There's a variety of Pixar merch like spirit jerseys, hoodies, baseball and bucket hats, mugs, water bottles, tumblers, and collectible medallions. There's also a all new parade for this event, and it happens twice a day at 4 p.m. and 6:30 p.m. And there's a Pixar nighttime show with Pixar projections called Together Forever, a Pixar Nighttime Spectacular. Club Parks Pixar can be found at the Hollywood back lot. So there's a lot going on there. Kind of want to go.
I don't think I can convince Mike to go by August 4th with the kids, but can we have Mike Wazowski please come to Disney World?
I know.
My kids are obsessed with, as Chase puts it, Monsters at College. Monsters University plays in our house at least once a day for weeks now.
That is a cute movie.
He's already going to Monsters University, he told us. That's the college he's going to. If you ask Natalia to scare, she will growl at you. But I wish they could do some of that, like a little Pixar Fest in Disney World.
I do wish that too. You definitely need to take them sometime though, because that was one of the best, or that's one of the things I love the best when I went with Gina and the girl. Well, we went with the agency, but it was with Gina and Steph and Tammy when we went and rode on the Monsters ride there. So cute.
We didn't have a fun Roz this time. We did it. The girls and I did it. And I don't know because we did it early in the morning. And I don't know if maybe they don't have a person come in until later in the afternoon.
Oh, maybe.
It was automated.
Aw.
So it's not like how they have Monsters Laugh floor.
No, you're in a car and you're riding through and you're seeing them and you see the scene, like scenes from the movie. So like the one at the sushi bar.
Yes.
And so, yeah, I really, really loved that.
I'm going to have to find that on YouTube for the kids.
Yeah, you should.
I think I'm dressing Natalia up as Boo for Disney this year.
My kids did that for Halloween of like probably about 5 years ago. Abby was Boo and Andrew was Sally and Jenny was Mike.
I was going to say, then you could get Chase a lime green shirt and get an eye on it and he could be Mike Wazowski.
My mom just bought him shorts that have them on it.
Oh my gosh.
I'm so excited to wear them. They have a Sully robe on Disney Store website that I was like, kind of want to get it for him, but there might be a fight between the kids over.
Just by two.
Today is your day.
Yes.
And you can have it tomorrow. We have to share.
We'll rotate the schedule.
So funny. Well, thank you, listeners, for joining us and enjoying. We hope you enjoyed our banter and the updates from Disney. If you're interested in being a guest on our show or you have a question or comment, you can just text us at 636-373-4497. You can check us out on our social media account, The Mousecapades Podcast on Facebook.
Be sure to listen to Friday's show. Vicki and Kaylee will be sharing part one of a recent Disney World weekend. If you would like a free quote, contact Vicki, Gina, or myself, Samantha, at 636-373-4497.
As always, thanks for listening to the number one podcast that entertains that space between your ears, the Mousecapades and More podcast.
Well, girls, I think it's about that time. Disney love.
See you real soon.
It's a small world after all.
Have a magical day, my friends.
Tale as old as time, tune as old as song, bittersweet and strange, finding you can change, learning you are wrong. Winter turns to spring, famine turns to feast, nature points the way, nothing left to say. Beauty and the Beast.